Good morning and welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Matthew Smith, and along with Linda Duhirsu, I serve as a co-pastor here for this community, and I want to share just a couple of notes as we begin to prepare our hearts and minds, our bodies and souls to be together in worship. Linda is away today, and I'm grateful to have Molly Knappen here helping to lead worship with us. Molly is a seminary student at Claremont School of Theology and with us this year. I'm learning more about ministry here at the table. I want to make a note just for the folks that are here in person, and we have all tested, did the rapid test this morning. We continue to do that just as an extra precaution as we gather in this space. When we're not on microphones, our invitation is to ask everyone to continue to wear masks, and we have those in the back, both for adults and for children if you need those. So there is much swirling in our bodies and in the world. And so we're going to open first with a prayer. And this prayer comes to us from Jeff Chu. Jeff is a person that we met when we were out at Princeton 2 years ago. He spent time at Princeton's Farminary, learning ministry there on the farm. And so this is a call and response prayer. I'm going to be one, and I want to invite you, those here in person and those joining online, to respond as all. So let us be in a spirit of prayer. For all who are vulnerable and afraid, for Ukraine's people, for trans kids and their families in Texas, for all suffering amid war and violence, for all who feel forgotten, grant them courage, strength, and the true peace of knowing that they are beloved. God, hear our prayers. For all who abuse their power, for those drunk on arrogance, for those who wield their strength with disregard for human dignity, for those inflamed by deceptive pride, grant them humility, restraint, and the true peace of knowing that they are beloved. God, hear our prayers. For all who feel overwhelmed, and who doesn't? For those who want to do something yet feel powerless. For those trying to bear witness. For those who are flailing. Grant us wisdom, comfort that is not complacency, and the true peace of knowing that we are beloved. God, hear our prayers. We'll move now into song.
Give me Jesus, you can have There must be a God somewhere. There must be a God somewhere. There must be. of God somewhere. Oh, when the world is silent,
I hear music in the air.
Oh, when the world is silent,
I hear music in the air.
Oh, when the world is silent,
I hear music in the air.
Oh, there must be a God somewhere. There must be a God. There must be a God somewhere. Over my head,
I hear music.
At Central United Methodist Church. I'm Molly Knapp, and I'm an intern here this year. Matt Smith and Linda Dutiersu are the pastors of this community of faith. Linda's away with her family, as Matt mentioned, and she'll be back next week. We are grateful to root our lives in grace through weekly worship on Sundays, in both here in the sanctuary and online, and we grow in faith in weekly kitchen tables. These are small groups which are the heartbeat of our community of faith. Each week we gather and hold our lives in conversation with the great commandment, loving God and loving our neighbors as ourselves. Our co-pastors also lead a six-week series called Growing in Faith, which helps newcomers move into these small groups. So two groups are beginning in March. Both are already full. But we've added a new online Growing in Faith series that'll be Tuesday evenings beginning April 19th. So if you'd like to connect with others and learn more about how we practice our faith here at the table, we encourage you to go online and register. Our children grow in faith with an outdoor version of Godly Play at 9:30 on Sundays out there, and also outside with Loving Childcare at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. As a community of faith, we reach and love in many ways. We encourage you to join community volunteer shifts at Table Farm on Tuesdays, Fridays, or Saturdays. And a note for those of us gathering online, Chloe is there as a host, so if you have any questions or need any assistance, please message her directly and or share in the chat. That's another way. And when you feel ready, we encourage you to sign in and find a virtual seat to connect with others, and it's much like Zoom. You can chat, you can see each other. If you'd like to follow along with the flow of worship, you can use the QR code, which is here in the sanctuary, and also online. There's a notice in the announcements for the bulletin. And if you'd like to learn more about this community of faith or stay in touch, please text the word new to the number on screen, or go to the tableumc.org website, and you'll find the Connect pop-up at the bottom right. So we'll continue to move into worship with this series, and I invite you to remain seated. And no, I invite everyone to stand and join in the song. Give me Jesus.
Joys are flowing like a river since my
encourage those here in the sanctuary and our friends online to follow along in your own Bibles or with the words that you see on the screen as I share readings from Luke. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, is it good for us to be here? Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified.
Stop.
As they entered the cloud. Then
stop.
From the cloud.
Avery, I got this. Stop. For real.
Okay.
That's the moment, the interruption, that Barbara Holmes talks about as an eclipse. We were going along just like we were supposed to, like we always do. And then it got interrupted. An eclipse. An eclipse interrupts the normal, the ordinary, the flow. And I've been reading this text all week in conversation with Barbara Holmes's book, Crisis Contemplation. And I've come to see that this text might be embodying what she's been trying to teach us about over these last 4 weeks. In this case, it's a cloud overshadowing them on the mountain, disrupting everything that they knew. The church calls that transfiguration. According to Dr. Holmes, the moment that the eclipse happens, the ordinary is disrupted, and there's an opportunity then for a transformation. And she describes it most often as a community being interrupted and then moaning. Maybe you've had that experience yourself. Life interrupted. Dr. Holmes writes about a threefold movement that she believes Christian communities are called to hold our lives in relationship to, and that is, in the moment of the eclipse, we then make space for a moan, which can then move us into a new framing, or what she calls stillness. And I've come to think, come to experience, maybe, that that might be the heart of what's happening in today's reading. The cloud overshadows them. An eclipse, you could say. And then it's followed by what I've come to hear as a moan. This moan comes from the divine. "This is my child, my chosen. Listen to him." The moan of God. "This is my child, my chosen. Listen to him." Dr. Holmes invites us to see that the moan that comes up inside of us can give way to a stillness. Dr. Howard Thurman describes the stillness for us. In the stillness of quiet, if we listen, we can hear the whisper of the heart. giving strength to weakness, courage to fear, hope to despair. And in this text, the moan of God gives rise to a stillness. Luke's gospel continues, when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent. And in those days, told no one any of the things they had seen. John Crockett writes that mystical means closed with closed lips. Mysticism is the thought-stopping realization that reality cannot be captured with words or concepts. Or in reading from Luke, you can't build a dwelling place around the mystical. The transfiguration cannot be captured by words or held down by concepts. The transfiguration happens, note, not with a single person in isolation, as we so often tend to think about contemplative practices, but in community. Jesus and Peter and John and James, and then they're joined by two others, Moses and Elijah. Reverend Dr. Claudio Carvalhais, who teaches at Union Theological Seminary, he writes this. One of the lessons of this text is that the glory of God is only possible if lived together in community. Nobody, not even Jesus, could shine alone. As an aside, for those that have heard about the Catholic priest that got in a lot of trouble for saying, we baptize you instead of I think that's interesting. I'll leave it at that, because that's not in my notes. Reverend Dr. Barbara Holmes writes that when a village experiences a crisis that shatters normalcy, it finds itself in liminal spaces. The crisis shatters suppositions, identities, and reality structures. Often the community experiences the end of one reality and entry into a state of being that the late Victor Turner defined as betwixt and between states of reality, liminal space. It seems to me that the story of transfiguration, as it's shared in Luke's gospel, is a story of just this, a liminal space, the end of one reality and an entry into a state of being that is betwixt and between. It's an experience in text of liminality. One theologian with Salt Project describes it like this. What happens up there on the mountain? Well, it's beyond explanation, of course, but at its heart, it is a vision of a mysterious heavenly realm, and indeed, of the world to come. Time and space seem to collapse. The scene is somehow incandescent, and Jesus is subtly seen engaging two of the most prestigious prophets of our tradition, Moses and Elijah, in colloquial conversation. What they're talking about is really telling. See, the Greek word that we translate as departure in most of our English translations, it's actually the same word for exodus. They're talking about exodus. It's maybe a reference to both Jesus's coming death, resurrection, and ascension, and at the same time, it's this ancient idea of a new exodus that has been modeled as God brought God's people from deliverance from those in Egypt. In other words, the exodus that Moses led was widely thought to be a kind of like divine signature, a pattern, you could say. And according to this, the Messiah would carry out yet another deliverance, another exodus, another liberation for God's people. The whole scene on the mountain is a liminal between space. And I don't know how you feel, but I feel like this is where our world is, between. John DeWall and Shawnee Scott write about it like this. A liminal space is the time between the what was and the next. It is a place of transition, a season of waiting and not knowing. Liminal space is where all transformation takes place if we learn to wait and let it form us. Oh, how I need God's help in learning to wait and letting the liminal space form me. Most churches in the world that are reading this text today, most are going to stop right there. They'll stop at verse 36 in chapter 9. It puts a nice box around the transfiguration. Puts a package. We can handle it that way. It's an odd story, but we'll use it this week and then move on next to whatever is less mysterious. Luke 9:36 says that when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone and they kept silent and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. Just ends right there. Up on the mountain, tell no one. If that were the case, the crisis contemplation could end by ourselves alone. But the writings of Dr. Claudio Carvalhais have helped me to see that the story actually opens to an even more powerful testimony about what communal contemplation could call us toward. The mystical metamorphosis directs Jesus back into his mission. Right away, immediately. Claudio insists that this text needs the following text that talks about the miracle of the healing of this disgraced boy. Listen, do you hear the second moan? The stillness in Luke's gospel is followed immediately by a second moan. Luke's gospel says, on the next day when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." And suddenly a spirit seizes him and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." God has moaned and now the Father, the community, the Father moans as well. "Teacher, I beg you." The moan of the Father is immediately followed by another moan. Isn't that so often how it works when we open ourselves to the Spirit of God? We don't get to put a line or a box around it. This third moan is from Jesus. Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." The story of transfiguration blurs Jesus with Moses and Elijah, and if we open to how the story continues, there on the level plain, it blurs the moan of God with the moan of the community and the moan of Jesus. Three moans, God, community, and Jesus, unfold this story of mystery into a story of healing. Luke's gospel continues. Jesus says, "Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his parent. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. From the vantage of those in the ancient world, this child is gripped by demons which have taken control of his life. He's trapped in what we might think of as psychological and social chains. Claudio doesn't mince words. Jesus' indictment of the faith of the disciples, "You faithless and perverse generation," it sounds true to us as disciples of Jesus today. Our world is dashing the poor against the rocks of despair, hunger, and abandonment every day. The economic beast controlled by a few demons is making our people convulse day and night. The homeless, the immigrant, the incarcerated. And with Claudio, I would echo and add, children in Ukraine. Trans teenagers that are afraid to go back to school tomorrow in Texas. Those mothers who work three jobs to make a minimum wage to feed 3-4 kids, they're like that boy, thrown into the shadows of our society, convulsing day and night right in front of us. And we, who seem to not know anything about the transfiguration of Jesus, or our own transfiguration, metamorphosis, change, are looking at these people, asking Jesus, "Can we dwell in our worship tabernacles, basking in your glory, away from the people and their pressing needs?" This mystical story of transfiguration is a call in to the mystery which is the divine, into the transforming love of Jesus, which is always already on the loose in the midst of every place in creation that is longing to be set free. And so we're going to move now into a time of praying together, and we're going to pray for the world, for our community, for whatever is on your heart, exhaling whatever you need to have come out of your body and soul, and inhaling whatever it is that God would long for you to hold. And as we do this, I want to invite us to pray by wondering where we might be in this story. Are we like the parent who's pleading for our child to be set free? Or are we like the disciples? We want to run back up that mountain, get as far away from the world and the needs as we can. Maybe we're like Peter. I know I can be. I want to put a dwelling around the mystery. Try to contain it. Maybe you are the child that longs to be set free from whatever is ensnaring you. So let us be in a spirit of prayer. This is our music team inviting us into the heart of God with Breathe. Amen. I want to invite us to move into a time of breaking bread toward the end of what would become the end of his life, another liminal space, Jesus could have done anything. And what he chose to do in that liminal space was to break bread. And so we, longing to follow in those ways, do the same. Trusting that the new that God is breathing into us comes as we join with the love of God made known in the most ordinary of things, like bread and juice. We call it a feast. I remember when a kid in maybe five with godly play, the feast that our children share is a cracker and juice. And the five-year-old was pretty convinced, this is not a feast. Not a feast. Yet the church is called to look at the ordinary. The ordinary. And see the divine. Part of what helps us to do that is the practice of acknowledging that we don't live in the ways that God longs for us to live. And we do that not just personally, but communally, because the whole world is falling short. So I invite you to stand, those here in the sanctuary, as you're willing and able, and to join your heart and mind with me in a prayer of confession. I invite you to rise as you're able. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We resist your mystery. We try to prevent transformation by avoiding liminal spaces. We do not know how to wait, to breathe, to open into your spirit forming us. Forgive us, we pray. Friends, like each and every part of creation which has gone before us, God is giving you in the midst of this very moment strength to meet your weakness, courage to meet your every fear, and hope to meet the despair. So may you and we know and trust in God's beloved assurance. Amen.
Let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church throughout the generations, to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Gracious God, we give you praise and thanks for this holy communion, the body of Christ, of your Father, we bless your name. take part in this holy communion. Make us our one. To love like your Son.
Let us pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples. We encourage you to name and address God in the language which is most dear and true to your own heart. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Pour your Spirit upon each of us gathered here and gathered in many places. Pour your Spirit upon the gifts which are now before us, and make these gifts, this ordinary bread, this ordinary cup, the body, the love of Christ, and make us ordinary people, Christ's body and love alive in the world. Amen.
All are welcome at the table of God's love. In the United Methodist Church, this table is open to all people. And all means all. We encourage those at home to light a candle and gather bread and juice in whatever form you have handy, and share with us in this sacred time of breaking bread. If you're with others, we encourage you to take time to reflect on whatever might be stirring in your hearts by sharing that aloud and praying for one another. And if you're on your own right now, we encourage you to take this time to journal in response to whatever's stirring within. Please know that whether you're online or here in the sanctuary, you do not need to be a member of this church or any denomination to participate. We are all God's children. This is God's table, and it is open to all. You cannot make a mistake. You cannot do this wrong. And for those here in the sanctuary, our communion stewards will guide us, and they will take the bread and cup outside onto the front lawn and help maintain a safe physical distance and allow us to also be intimate and sacred time for everyone. And Avery will guide us by dismissing each pew one by one and starting with this pew in front nearest the door. After breaking off a piece of bread and dipping it in the juice, please make your way around to the back and come back in the front door. You are welcome to pray at the candle stations, the prayer stations, for as long as you wish.
Friends, this is the body of Christ and the bread of life, broken for you, and the cup of God's love, the new covenant, poured out for you and all. Amen. I want to invite those here in the sanctuary, if you feel led, we have a canvas that our artist in residence, Eric Castellanos, has created for us. And there are paint brushes here and an oil-based paint. And I want to invite you to respond with whatever might be stirring within you as you feel led here in the front on top of the table. And Eric will then take this creation to a next place as we continue to see how God calls us to be co-creators in this time. So please come as you feel led. to give permission for those that are praying with candles or working with the canvas that is here to stay as long as you need in that place of prayer or this place of creating. Loving God, we give you thanks for the depth of this holy mystery through which you reveal yourself to all of creation. In this bread and this cup, may we come to know anew your healing love made known to us and for the world through the one in whom we place our hope, Jesus Christ. Amen.
In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we also respond by giving generously of our financial resources. So many of us have made commitments to support our life together. If you'd like to join in, you may go to the address on screen or text any amount to the number. Our website has additional ways to give if you'd like to go there. And your generosity helps our community of faith align ever more deeply with God's fierce love, which is already loose in the world. Thank you. So as we prepare for this sending forth, we hope that those online will consider logging in now and going to a virtual pew or table and connecting with others. Chloe is with you and would love to connect. And we realize this can be a very vulnerable step for many of us online, but we'd love for you to try it. Just get connected with others that way. And for those in the sanctuary, we'll move after this song back outside and into the beauty of God's world. And we would love to have your help in welcoming others to in-person worship. So Avery will be at our Next Steps table outside, and we'd love to have you connect with him and learn more about joining our hospitality team. And I invite you also to stand for this next song, but just before, I want to remind everyone that Ash Wednesday is coming up. We have a service in sanctuary and online at 7 a.m. and then from 7 to 7:45. And then we have one at the Table Farm from 5 to 6 in person. So you're encouraged to join. So now I do invite you to stand as our music team sends us forth with a song which has sustained and emboldened people of faith through many a stormy time. Let's join our voices with this joy.
This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. That I had, the world didn't give it to me.
No.
This strength that I had, the world didn't give it to me.
No, no, no.
This strength
that I have,
the world didn't give it to me.
No.
The world didn't give it, the world can't take it away.
This love,
this love.
Friends, hear this blessing. Hear this blessing from Dr. Barbara Holmes. To the fallen and the wounded, rest. To the future soon coming, hurry. To the children who imagine more, don't get weary. and to the hope and the healing on its way. Don't delay. Amen.